I think that one of the most critical issues in all of our religious endeavors, involvements, concerns, is passing it on to our children. That's, you know, with us, we don't have this this open attitude that, you know, my life is my life, their life is their life, whatever they do, I do what I want to do, they do what they want to do, and our involvement with Yadus and with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so serious to us that we can't afford to just, you know, if they choose to go this way, fine, and if they don't, you know, it's also fine. It means mamish to us, you know, that they should follow in the path that, because it isn't just the path that we have chosen in life. It's what we believe life to be all about. So, therefore, the ability to convey and to inspire that our children follow in our derech in life is of utmost importance to us. And since one of the most important elements in our lives is our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's something that we also wish to pass on to our children. So I thought we would discuss a little bit how, you know, some practical, maybe conceptual, philosophical, and practical ideas of passing on this bitochin that to us is so important, how to pass it on to inspire our children. So I thought first we would see, this is a copy of the text from the Vilna Gaon in Mishle. And the pasuk says, Liyos b'Hashem mivtochecho, that the being to assure that your bitochen is in Hashem, I have commanded you, or I have told you to this day. So he says like this: K'moy she'nema is a pasuk in Tehillim. Vayokem edus biYaakov v'Torah som biYisrael. He established an edus in Yaakov, and the Torah given to Klal Yisrael. Asher tzivas avoseinu, that he commanded our fathers, lohidiyam livneim, to teach them to their children. So he gave a Torah to Klal Yisrael and commanded the fathers to teach it to their children. Leman yedu doer acharoin, that the final generation, in other words, all future generations should know that there was a Torah that was given to Klal Yisrael, which is what we do. We're going to do that on Shavuos. We pass this message on to our children that we received the Torah at Har Sinai, and it was passed to Yeshua and this Canaan and the Nevi'im. It goes on and on. We can trace it all the way back, and we pass it on to our children in the hope that it will continue to future generations. But then the pasuk continues, V'yosimu be'elokim kislom, so he says, we want us to pass on the Torah to our children in order that they should place their kisla, means their trust, to place their trust in Hashem, and they shouldn't forget all of the doings and all of the things that Hashem has done for us, and to guard and keep his mitzvahs. Pirish, Vayokim Eidus, Heim Neviyim Uksuvim. The Eidus that he refers to on the Neviyim Uksuvim. This is the Goyen explaining. But Torah, who had Torah? So we have Torah, Neviyim Uksuvim. Som be Yisrael. And then he put by Klal Yisrael, he gave us. What does that mean? The Iker Nesinas HaTorah Li Yisrael, the essence of the giving of the Torah to Klal Yisrael, who? Kedei Shiosimu Bitchoinom BaHashem. That they should put their trust in Hashem. That in itself is a mind-boggling concept, but that after everything is said and done, and all of the learning and all of the mitzvahs of the Torah are observed, the tachlis, the ikar of that giving, is that we should forge that relationship with Hashem, which is expressed in trust, which is expressed in that bitochen, the bitochen we have in Hashem that we follow His ways, the bitochen that we have in Hashem that we turn to Him in a time of need, the bitochen that we have in Hashem that we rely on Him to take care of us in every life circumstances. But then he says very interesting. Vegam kein lesaper acharkach livnehem. He says that besides the tachlis of giving the Torah to Klal Yisrael, so that they should be able to put their trust in Hashem, it's also lesaper ledor acharon, lesaper acharkach livneim, to teach it and to tell it over to their children. K'mo shenemar leman yedu dor acharon v'hu lefi. That's because Iker HaKol Hu HaBitochen HaSholem Hu Klal Kol HaMitzvos. The Iker of everything is the Bitochen HaSholem. And it's the Klal Kol HaMitzvos. Shenem V'lo Yishkechu Malekel Mitzvos Ev Yintzoyru. And therefore, he says, since it's the Klal of all the Mitzvos, then we are obligated to teach this and pass this Bitochen on to our children. Because just as we want our children to have the Torah, if the Iker of the Torah was the ability and the goal is to put our trust in Hashem, then we pass it on to future generations also with that message, not only of this is the Torah Hashem, but this is the Iker that you too should be able to place your bitochen in Hashem. And through that bitochen in Hashem, there will be no forgetting of the mitzvahs. We will remember everything Hashem does, and we will, and they will keep the mitzvahs. It seems from this that the bitochen in Hashem is necessary to preserve the mitzvah satorah, the appreciation of everything Hashem does, the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's critical in passing the Torah on to the next generation. So as much as we want our children to follow in our ways of observance of Torah and mitzvahs, says it's almost like the formula for it, or the assurance of it, or the essential midah that has to be passed on in order for this Torah to be kept and to be followed, is this sense of putting our trust in Hashem. He says, and that's what it says, Hodaticha hayoim beruach HaKodesh, zeh ois al shriyas ha-shechina b'toich b'nei Yisrael, yisimu b'tchonim, af ato tedia levonecho acharecho, kimo shenema. You, it's the Shechina will be Shira in Klal Yisrael, and you have to put your trust in Hashem, and af ato, you too, but besides that, you have to give it over, this bitochen in Hashem, you have to give over to the next generation. And finally, the last generation, all should know about this special, unique relationship we have with Hashem. So it seems that the point that he's making is that the relationship that we have with Hashem, as expressed in this bitochen that we have, is a critical ingredient for the survival of the Torah to the next generation. And if we wish to pass on the mitzvahs HaTorah and the Torah to our children, then it has to come together with this sense of trust in Hashem, because without that, there's no assurance, there's no connection, there's no glue like to hold it all together. And the truth of the matter is, it's really very easy to understand, because trust is really the essential ingredient in any relationship. Mm-hmm. And if we want to have a relationship, and that's what Torah is, we've mentioned here, I'm sure, that when the Goy came to Hillel and asked him to teach him the whole Torah al regel achas, he said, "Madaloch sani lechavruch lisavit." That which to you is hateful, don't do to your friend. This is the whole Torah. The rest is explanation. I'll go and learn. And Rashi says in the first pshat, lechavruch, your first HaKadosh Baruch Hu, may Re'achav Re'avich Al Tazoif, that the essence of the Torah is our chavershav, is our relationship, is our friendship with Hashem. And he says, that's what he told the Goy. He says, that which to you is hateful, don't do to your friend. Don't disappoint, don't betray that relationship with Hashem, because that's really the essence of the Torah. And that relationship is assured, is strengthened, is best, is expanded and maintained in its highest level when there's a relationship of trust. So that trust in Hashem, and really it's very simple, because if I trust Hashem, then if He says to do something, I do it. If I trust Hashem, He says to do something, I do it even if it's difficult. If I trust Hashem, He says to do something, I do it even if it seems to me that it's too much, it's impossible, how could it be, where am I going to manage, how this will happen, that will happen. I trust Him. So that's really, really what it's all about, and that's what we have to give over to our children. Now, so how do we do it? What's that all about? So, first of all, I think we all know that preaching is a very shallow, it's a minimalist way of giving something over to our children. Nobody likes to be preached at. It's not only adults who fall asleep during sermons, but nobody likes to be preached at, you know. It goes against my independence. It goes against my free thinking. It goes against my comfort zone. Enough speeches, enough preaching, enough this. The most powerful method is example. It's modeling. Modeling does wonders, because modeling does two things. Number one, it not just tells our children, you should do this and this and this, which is really an abstract, because how do you do it? What's it about? What does it mean? How does it really look? How do you touch it? In Yiddish they say, viesmindos, you know, like, whoa, what's going on over here? Modeling? I see it. This is what it is. I have it's like a diagram, but a diagram in three dimension, in five dimension, I don't know. It's really, this is what you're talking about. This is what you do. That's one. So number one, modeling conveys a much more multidimensional picture of what is expected of me. But number two, and I think this may be equally, if maybe not more important, modeling allows me to choose on my own to follow it, rather than to be told and pushed and pressured and cajoled and enticed and nudged and bothered to do something. Because here's the model. Okay, so I see the model, and then I see what it is, and then I decide I want to do it. And a decision to do something is the greatest, is the surest formula for real commitment, real maintenance, real ongoing dedication, rather than some fly-by-night and flimsy connection here today and gone tomorrow. You know, unfortunately, it's just an aside, but many of the people that are going off the derech, and unfortunately today there are adults as well, they say, I never decided to do this. I never really took ownership of this lifestyle. Everyone was doing it, so I did it too. I was in a school, I was in a community, I was in a home, I went with the flow, or some say. I was pushed into it, I was pressured into it, so I never thought about it. And now all of a sudden I wake up one day, and sometimes already it's very late because there's a family, a children, a spouse, who knows. And this is not for me. I never bought into this. Whereas if someone buys in themselves, that's a kinyan. I take ownership. It's real. It's my decision. I chose it. And that's a whole different story. So modeling allows for a much better adaptation and choice and kinyan of something, of anything, than does the preaching. And especially when it's something as abstract as bitochin, modeling does something else. Modeling can give a real life example of the benefits. And benefits are more important to children than anything else. We've mentioned here, I'm sure, on occasion, Dr. Sefer HaChinuch, he writes, he says this book that he wrote is a book for as a gift for his bar mitzvah bocher 500 years ago. And he gives what he calls tam b'toelus, the reasons and the benefits for all of the mitzvahs. He comes to one mitzvah in Parshas Vayikra called Sorah b'chol dvash lo yisaktiru ish el Hashem, that you're not allowed to bring on the Mizbeach, the Beis HaMikdosh, any seor, leaven, or honey. And he doesn't have a reason. He says it really is not clear what the reason is, what the benefit, what the point is. Ad kedei kach, he was almost going to leave it. But he says, I'm afraid that if I leave it and I don't give benefit and tam v'toelus and all of the mitzvahs, then I'm afraid that my son and his friends will look at the Torah as a sefer chosum. It's a closed book. It doesn't all make sense. And then he says the strangest language. Pen yivatu bohem mitoich kach b'na'arusom v'yanichum le'oilum v'yelchu lehevel. I'm afraid that they'll kick, that they'll rebel against the whole Torah and mitzvahs in their youth, forsake it forever, and join with the foolishness of the world. Now, this is very strange, because he was a Rishon about 500 years ago. And he wrote Tam B'Toelus for all of the mitzvahs, except this one. He was declaring not to do this one. And this one was not even relevant Lamaisa, because there was no Beis HaMikdosh when he was writing for his son 500 years ago. We didn't have a Beis HaMikdosh. So it's not like every day the kid's going to come to the Beis HaMikdosh and say, why couldn't I bring along honey? You know? So, and he's afraid for one mitzvah, the Torah will seem a sefer chosum. It's klar, not, and I guess it'll be an excuse to drift from everything. So we see it's critical. They must see tam b'toelus, reasons and benefits. Critical, critical, critical for them to see that. Now, in speeches and preaching, okay, you can claim tam b'toelus. In modeling, they see the tam b'toelus. What do I mean? A person has bitochen. To a true Baal Bitochen, there are two things that are going to happen in his life. Number one, when he puts his trust in Hashem, he will not be disappointed. He will not be embarrassed. He will not be let down. We've studied this many times. Many psukim, I think it was just even last week, David HaMelech said, B'cho Hashem chosisi alei voisho. I put my trust in you. I'm not going to be embarrassed because you won't let me down. And number two, he'll see menuchas hanefesh. He'll see peace of mind. Wow, I don't get it. My father has this big problem, this big challenge, this big obstacle, and he's calm. Nothing bothers him. He talks to, he has time to talk to me. He has time to go about his regular routine and doesn't show an ounce of agitation, an ounce of anxiousness, an ounce of nervousness. And then I find out, wow, everything worked out. So there's nothing more powerful in conveying bitochen to our children than modeling it. Modeling it requires, number one, that we have to have it. Because you can't model. If you model something that you don't have, I don't know how that works out in the world of modeling, but in this model, it doesn't work out. I don't have it. It's a joke. You know, nothing's going to happen, and I'm going to be a nervous wreck, and I'm not going to model. But if I really can develop true bitochen, and then I come home and I never forget when we purchased the building on Columbia Avenue. So I remember Friday night walking from my house before the closing was that week, and I announced to my family, I said, I'm $150,000 short for the closing. I said, but then I said, you know, no problem. Shabbos, the money's in the bank. Rashi says, why does it mean? The Torah tells me, do all your work. It should be be'enecho ki'ilu kol malachtecho asuyo. Shabbos comes, you could feel as if everything's done. The money's in the bank. No problem. So I said, the problem is that after Shabbos, you make Abdullah, the money goes out. It's a psychological feeling for this 24, 25-hour period. So I had a chop. I said, I'm going to schedule the closing for Monday, and I'll make Abdullah after the closing. okay, I didn't do that, and it worked out. The last minute, it was a minute before I had to go to the lawyer's office. The person who was supposed to bring the check finally brought the check in. That doesn't matter. But the point is like this: that this is the attitude. So I need $150,000, and so if I share this with my family, and I truly have trust, and I truly have menuchas hanefesh, then they're going to see a model of bitochen works, and it supplies peace of mind in the process until it happens. And that model is more beneficial, more educational, more useful to them to be able to develop it than anything
else. Can a child grasp the story when the check doesn't come till after the closing?
Well, those stories, you have to be, well, I'll tell you, you know what you have to do then. You have to say, hey, I didn't really have bitochen. I don't know. Look, you see, that's a good question. You obviously...
When they get older, it's easier to maneuver
No. It's not about maneuvering. See, one of the things that we learn over here is that it really works. When I have that bitochen, the world turns upside down for me. So we have to work on it. So it could be that when the bitochen, when you feel, see, bitochen is something that, there's a barometer. We sense it. And probably the easiest barometer is my peace of mind. If I think, oh, I got bitochen, it's going to work out, and I'm a nervous wreck, I don't really have bitochen, I'm fooling myself. Those situations don't tell them. Those situations don't show them. But when there's something real, I really feel, and see, what happens is something else too. When you tell somebody, then you sort of force it a little more. That's what David HaMelech said. He says, Elekai b'chobotachti alevoisho, alialsu oivaili, tilim chafei. He said, Hashem, he says, I put my trust in you. Don't let me be embarrassed. Don't let my enemies rejoice in my disappointment, yeah? Because you put your trust in him. Look what you did. What are you putting your trust in him? So I guess, but once we feel that real sense, or we feel close to it, then it's something. And sometimes even part of the education process, if it happens all the time, it's not going to be a good process. But sometimes part of the process is, either I didn't have bitochen, or Hashem knows better. And Hashem has, very often, for Hashem, if you're talking about a business deal, the guy said, I have this big deal. You want it desperately, but Hashem knows one thing that you don't. He knows that this deal will bury you. And the next deal is the one that you really want. And he knows better. You don't really want this deal. You don't need this building. You need what the building reaps, what the building brings in. And he knows it's going to happen better. So all of these things, if we live this life and we share it with our children, then we're teaching them the whole thing. But we're teaching them not by preaching. We're teaching them by modeling. And the model is so attractive. The model is so much easier to emulate. The model is so much easier to understand and to feel and to appreciate. And, that's what we know. Now, but there's something else too. That in order for all of this to happen, there first has to be a great sense of appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechlal. And probably the most important ingredient in that sense of appreciation from the earliest stages of life is to show Hashem's Hashgacha Pratis. Everybody, I have found that when you alert people to the existence of Hashgacha Pratis, which to some people is a chiddush. What? Hashem takes care of every little detail? What? Hashem really cares what's going on in this minute little thing? What? He pays attention to everybody's situation and the smallest, the biggest and the smallest details, and nothing makes a difference. When you alert them to that, what happens is they discover it on their own. Because there are so many instances of Hashgacha Pratis. Any mamin, any person who begins to recognize the extent of Hashem's involvement in our lives sees more and more validation, more and more inspiration, more and more situations of this in every single day. of his existence. And that was what we have to educate our children, have to point it out. When something happens and they would attribute it to coincidence, you know, maybe it's not appropriate to quote in a public forum, but many, many years ago I heard on the radio, I remember I heard a priest talking, and he said very profound thing. He says, God has many names. Nature, fate, luck, coincidence, circumstance, you know, all of these things. But it's really all Hashem. It's really all Hashgacha Pratis. And if we train our children from the earliest stages of life, that yes, Hashem is involved in every detail. Hashem is in control of everything. Hashem really cares. Hashem really loves us. Hashem loves to do chesed. Hashem only created this whole world only for the purpose of doing chesed. Ah, so he has an identity. When he has that benevolent identity and we see him in action in his Hashgacha Pratis, then in the lives of our children, it becomes a reality. I'll never forget, and I don't understand to this day why, that because usually I would recommend vary the stories. The more, the different, the varied stories and incidences and observations of Hashgacha Pratis that they see, the more powerful the message becomes. But for some reason, there was a tkufa in my young children that there was one story that they wanted me to tell when they were very, very young, over and over and over. And I remember going, putting them to bed at night, lying in the bed there and telling the same story 100 times. You know, but at least I still remember the story now, you know. So the story was, I read it in Yaffa Eliach's book, I think Hasidic Tales of the Holocaust, I think there's such a book. So she writes there like this. There was a brother and sister, I guess teenagers, that were left alone in one of the ghettos. Their parents had already been taken away. And the brother was a very, was like taking care of her. And he used to go out looking for food. And he told his sister she should not go out, because if she went out, then the Nazis would see her. They would take her. She's a beautiful girl. And he was afraid what would happen. So one day he goes out and he comes back and he's looking for her and she's not there. So he knew immediately she wouldn't defy his instructions. They must have found her. So he goes to the Nazi headquarters, wherever they were there in wherever they hung out there in the ghetto. And this big, you know, bullvan comes out there and he says, "Give me back my sister." And the guy answers him, he says, "I'll give you back your sister when you grow hair in the palm of your hand." In other words, you got a good case, you know, I'll give you I'm not giving you back your sister. The kid opens up his hand, full of hair growing right in the palm of his hand. The Nazi went wild. "Take your sister, you're a bunch of witches, you're whatever you are, you know, get out of here, I don't want to see you." What happened? A couple of years before, he worked in a machine shop and his hand got caught in the lathe. And it ripped off the skin. So they transplanted skin from his leg onto his hand. And the doctors told him that the hair will, you know, eventually disappear. The stupidest comment or a ridiculous comment of, "I'll give your sister back when you get hair in the palm of your hand." To whom does he say such a concept? To probably the one guy in all of Europe, or maybe the world, who had hair in the palm of his hand. And he saved his sister. A story like this, and stories like this. So, hey, and you know, if you know it's real, the best story is something that happens to them. The next best is something that happened to you. The next best is something that happened to your parents or your grandparents in the family. And if not, then even beyond. But the more credible the story, and the more detailed, and the more they see these things, this is the image that they have. Once I see, once I've learned, once I've come to recognize the extent of Hashem's involvement in my daily life, then the happy tochen is not that far away. If he takes care of all these things, and then I might as well trust him. He's trustworthy. He's established his credentials. He's proven himself time and again. Oh, if that's the case. And then, if this reka, with this background, with this backdrop, they're ready to learn from your model. And now when I model bitochen, I'm not just modeling something that's bizarre and strange, but I'm modeling a trust and a peace of mind in the process of one who is so actively involved that they have seen him countless times in their lives and in the lives of the people that surround him. And that really can be a source of ongoing strength and commitment. So it's like, but it's very important. And there's one other benefit too, which I'd like to just mention, and that is as follows. When our children are involved, we shape up better too. You know, it's mashma from the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos that the inyan of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, V'higadeto l'bincha, is not just for the benefit of the child, it's for the benefit of the parent. When I tell my child something, I am sure that I'm saying the truth because I wouldn't want to lie. And I'm strengthening my commitment and my conviction to that truth, because as I say it over to my most precious, not my most precious, it's my child is my, they used to say my kaddishal, my child is my perpetuity, if that's the word. My child is my nitzchias. I remember my father-in-law said that when his, I forget whether it was his first child or second child, but he says when one of his children was born, he understood what the word eternity means. He never understood what's the concept of nitzchias. What does it mean, eternal? What's eternal? You're here today and gone tomorrow. No, I continue to live on. I live on. We are living on from generations, 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 generations past. And so since I'm passing this over to my child, I want it to be better. I want to improve in it. I'm motivated to do it better because I'm doing it not just for my sake, I'm doing it for his sake. Many people, even in business, you know, you ask a lot of business people, after a certain point, they made so much money that like, why are you working? You know, so some people say it's uncontrollable. You know, they just can't stop. But some say, I'm doing it for my children or my grandchildren or my great-grandchildren. I want to make sure that that's our eternity. That's our nitzchias. So when we are modeling for our children the midah of bitochen, then we also have an opportunity to strengthen our own bitochen because the stakes are so high. And when we strengthen our own bitochen, we've strengthened the model and it helps them even more. So it's an ongoing thing and it's a good investment and it's real. Hashem should help. We should have to be zeiche to have it. Once you have the bitochen, you got it made, we don't even need anything.